You're listening to the Vanu Podcast, the podcast making you invulnerable to the coercion of the state and the servile society. Visit our website for free resources to aid you in your pursuit of self-liberation, old Vanu publications, podcasts, guest articles, and much more. Go to VanuPodcast.com. And now, your hosts, Shane and Jason.
The podcast making you invulnerable to the coercion of the state and the servile society. I'm your host, Shane, coming to you from the Free Republic of Paznia, the Self-Liberator's Paradise. The website is paznia.com. That's PAZNIA.com. So it's currently Thursday, October 14th, and we've just adjusted back to normal life here after having Self-Liberators here for about 9 days for VanuFest 2, concluding last Tuesday. Yes, and adjusted back. Justin, back with you for another what I believe to be important and highly interesting discussion, sparked by a fellow Vanuan in the Paznia Committee of Correspondence community chat. If you're not there yet, please do consider joining. That's t.me/Paznia chat. And of course, I'll put links to all the relevant things in the show notes. But that's the link to join and begin building your reputation in the Second Realm. Anyway, a month or so back, a pseudonymous individual named JJ brought up the terrific Crypto Agorist novella, hashtag Agora, and inquired as to whether or not the idea of the no-tell, not a hotel, had ever been seriously considered as a service. Me and maybe some others basically told him no, but that it might be time to start pondering such a possibility, new opportunities and all that sort of stuff, and just kind of a need for it, too. So today we'll do some more theorizing as to how such a no-tell could come into existence. What the inside of a hotel room could look like, policies and procedures, marketing such a Second Realm establishment, the role of technology and crypto anarchy play, and the security and maintenance of these areas, the utility of proxy merchants and securing the hotel, and potentially other proxy merchant services, pricing and profitability, and much more, I'm sure. But that should give you a good enough idea what's on the docket for today. And as mentioned above, for a fictional demonstration or example, please do check out hashtag Agora. It's linked at libertyunderattack.com/Second Realm or there at vanupodcast.com/Second Realm clips. But of course, I'll put all the relevant links in the show notes. And I'll also mention that my currently unreleased fiction book that I haven't worked on in like a year and a half now does have a no-tell in it. A no-tell in, Prague, actually. But that isn't out yet, and won't be a topic of discussion for this evening. But yeah, there are some fictional examples of these for sure, which we'll talk about. But anyway, without any more rambling, JJ, welcome to the Vani Podcast, man. How are things going?
Yeah, they're going pretty good today. Yeah, looks like it's starting to have a little bit of snow outside, but you know that's standard for the Great White North there. I'm really excited to be here.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I guess first off, I'm a little curious. I'm sure some of our audience is too. Would you mind providing a brief introduction? Who are you? A bit about your liberated lifestyle, and how you found Vanu and Paznia. And of course, share as much or as little as you like. We'll just kind of start with that.
Sounds good. So I classify myself as a sort of a survivalist / prepper, and I've been that way for quite a while. I went for the full spectrum of the so-called republicanism all the way through to where I currently am at, which is the political philosophy of anarchism, sorry, I'm trying to process my thoughts here. As far as my liberated lifestyle, I'm not where I'd like to be. Unfortunately, things don't always work in the world. And, COVID has pushed back my plans for strategic relocation. So I have to wait till the next summer to be able to strategically relocate. But I already have taken that first step towards being self-liberated. I was able to get rid of my my job. I'm now in charge of my own life, which is awesome. It's an amazing feeling to be free there. I originally had found Vanu and Paznia by going through podcasts. I, you know, as a tradesman, you know, oftentimes I have hours that I'm working, mm-hmm. and I don't have the, music is just, to me, it's kind of annoying a little bit sometimes. I mean, I like music, but I like to continually feed my brain, you know? And so I came across Liberty Under Attack and I was like, oh, wow, this is really good. And while I had started from the beginning, you know, you started about halfway through, I think, is when we started talking about Vanu and going from there onto the what is now the Vanu podcast. You know, I've been just been kind of eating it up there. It's a really good media there for everyone.
Right on, awesome. Well, that's great to hear. And as of late, and I've been I guess even more appreciative of that. But coming across folks who have been listening, I guess longtime listeners, not just to Vanu, but back to LUA too. So it's nice to come across to make more of an acquaintanceship with my longtime listeners. And you're exactly correct. And I make sure to bring this up as often as I possibly can. But you mentioned, you know, quitting your job, you're just over broke. I mean, that is the biggest control the Serval Society has over individuals is time. And the way that time is calculated nowadays is in terms of money. So, that first step of financial independence is absolutely huge. And it's one of the most liberating things that one can do is to exit the first realm in that area. And then it just kind of snowballs from there is kind of my experience. But anyway, I guess you came across those podcasts and Hashtag Agora came up at some point. Why we talked a little bit about this before we started recording, but why do you think the no-tell discussion is a good one to have at this moment in time?
Well, I think like a lot of this new territory that we're exploring with Pasnia and the Vanu is, you know, it's something that has to be explored before it can happen. You know, we can't just all just go snap our fingers and boom, you know, we have the second realm. We have to build that. And I think part of that building process is kind of going through the mental exercise as if we were a no-tell owner, you know, and saying, okay, how would that look like and share what we think. And then we get that feedback from, you know, potential customers as well as maybe other potential, no-till owners, and creating that whole Pasnia network that we talk about, I think, oftentimes, so that we can kind of really nail down this idea and get it to market as quickly as we possibly can.
Yeah, certainly. And, you know, I talk, action is obviously a critically important part of Vanu, but as you're saying, the theory is important too. I mean, that's how these things are going to get fleshed out. And, you know, back when we were theorizing about permanent autonomous zones and all that, Pasnia was not even an idea in my head, as far as I know, not in my conscious, at least, in my conscious mind, at least. But a lot of this theorizing, you don't really know where it's going to end up, what it's exactly going to look like. It's hard to foresee, but at the very least, yeah, get the ideas out there, get the conversation started and, see what transpires with, knowledgeable and, committed self-liberators. So I guess, to provide a brief overview, I guess to even before providing a brief overview, the part from Hashtag Agora, where the no-tell is mentioned, kind of the most pertinent parts, it's only like a page and a half. So I figure I'll start with that real quick. To start our conversation, then we can, I guess, more thoroughly go over the idea. This is from the novella Hashtag Agora. Quote, Katie's pretty much unconscious. Her left arm is around my shoulder, her right arm around Denton's shoulder. And we drag / carry her out of the bar. Outside, Michael, Faust, and Paul are waiting in front of a 5-series BMW, engine running. She's so shit-faced, Faust says and smiles. Yeah, she might have a little substance abuse problem, I say. Or 3, Michael says. Paul doesn't say anything. He just looks at his watch. I have to hurry. Can you bring her home? He says. Not home, but she can stay in the no-tell with new guy, Denton says. He turns to me. Promise me you won't rape her? He says. Do I look like a rapist? I say, a little outraged. They never do. Whatever. I promise. What's a no-tell? It's not a hotel, Michael hints, and it's where you're sleeping. Paul gets into the driver's seat, and Michael and Faust get in too. They speed off. Denton shifts a little, moving Katie's weight on his back. I grab her arm to not let her fall. What about her bike, I say. She can get it tomorrow. I'm not her babysitter. He shoulders his half of Katie's weight and starts walking. He's stronger than he looks. We drag slash carry her for only about 5 minutes when Denton stops in front of some residential-looking house. He pulls out his cell phone and types a few things. After fuzzing with it for about a minute, the doors make a quiet clicking sound. He puts the phone away and pushes the door open. I put my arm under Katie's knees and carry her fairy tale style up the stairs. Too bad she can't see me right now. "What's with the phone?" I say. "That was impressive." "I booked an hotel room," Denton says. "With your phone?" I pant a little. Thank fuck she's so light. I don't think I could have carried Julie up the stairs. "It's a website. You make an online transaction and you get a room." "What about the remote door?" "What do you expect, a doorman? Do you know how many embedded servers I can link to an electronic lock for even a month worth of paying a single person?" We've arrived at the top of the stairs and Denton leads me at the end of a corridor. There's no numbers on the door or anything like a hotel would have. Katie's feet drag on the floor as I shove her through the door. There's a two-person bed inside and I plop her down on the mattress. Denton checks some things in the room. He seems very methodical. "Okay," he says, "there's everything you need. Toothbrush, paste, soap, towels. Don't worry about the reservation. We'll talk tomorrow." Thanks, I say. "Don't worry, it's only 10 euros. 10 euros for this room? Sure. 10 euros times 10 residents times 30 days equals 3,000 euros a month. There's no restaurant and no hotel bar, though." "Huh," I say. Then, "You think I should wake her or undress her or put a blanket over her or something?" "Yeah, a blanket's probably a good idea. We wouldn't want her to get a cold." Let me see if there's anything else relevant here. I think the next is just discourse, and people can go read the book if they want to. I guess the other thing, there's a... skipping forward a little bit. On his way out, he points to a laptop sitting on the desk. "There's a Whisper PC prototype. If you want to surf the net or check your email, feel free." So, end quote. That's the very short section from Hashtag Agora. But the Whisper PC being what we would know, I guess, in our circles as a ghost pad or something along those lines. So, yeah, that's kind of the loose overview of the idea. An unoccupied or, I guess, unattended, building, an unattended building that people can rent, via phone, using technology and crypto anarchy to, remotely surveil, monitor, and run this place and this operation. So I'll turn it over to you. Do you have anything else you'd like to add in terms of the overview or that excerpt from Hashtag Agora?
No, I think that excuse me. I think a lot of what starts out. I mean, this is basically the gist of what we have available in Hashtag Agora, mm-hmm. To kind of define what the Knotel is, and I think that was really like one of the things that really got me interested in the idea, as someone who is constantly looking for potential income streams. That how would that look like, and what we would do with that, and how just all these questions came up, and so I think that's a pretty good start right there. Mm-hmm. As far as I don't really have anything else to add to the intro.
Okay, gotcha. So I think the first two things I'll start with, or at least mention, is the acquisition of the property. These will probably be, if they're going to be no-tells, if they have to be disguised, they're probably going to be in cities. I think it just kind of goes without saying, or maybe obscured in a residential. We've talked a lot about the big residential commercial or the big commercial buildings, industrial buildings that you could hide a lot of shit in. It's probably not going to be able to be openly advertised, since they'll be in cities. And so the other thing worth mentioning right at the outset is. Especially like looking at the course of Airbnb. Well, I guess it doesn't really matter what industry, right? I mean, the state just likes to regulate whatever the hell it can get its hand on. But yeah, the state definitely at this time likes to regulate the hospitality and things like Airbnb. So these would at least be gray markets, maybe black in some jurisdictions. So whether they be fronts, might be needed for it to be set up, or really just like I said, the role of the proxy merchant. I think the proxy merchant. The individual who's interested in opening up an hotel and who actually goes about doing it, I think that they might do it as an entrepreneurial venture, at least in some part. I think the proxy merchant role is kind of a necessity, especially since there's going to be so-called private property. There's going to be a title. There's going to be some interaction and interfacing with the state. And obviously, in this regulated industry such as hospitality. or you know, hotels, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, I think those are a couple good starting points. Mentioning the proxy merchant role, and that these are going to have to be, as per the name, as per how it was presented in hashtag Agora, they're going to have to be hidden, or at least discreet in some way.
Yeah, I think along with that, I think I like the concept of hiding in plain sight. I think that if we're looking at the Knotel, I know Europe is stylized a little differently, and we and hashtag Agora takes place, I believe it's in Germany, and so I think for a proxy merchant to be able to maintain this thing and keep it going, it kind of has to be dressed up either as something that it isn't or something that it is. And I think that, what we're looking at is what I would say is, a hotel. I mean, obviously that's what we're talking about, but what is a hotel? Well, basically a hotel is also very similar in design to, an apartment complex. So you could hide in plain sight, I think, in that way. And maybe you have some, regular tenants, that are occupying, but you keep a couple of these apartments free for folks to rent from you. Mm-hmm. It all really depends, I think, on your marketplace and supply and demand. I've also thought about why not get a 4 or 5 bedroom home. The problem with that, I think, honestly, even in cities, is nosy neighbors, which is going to decrease your mean time to harassment, even from the bludge. So I think, honestly, the best disguise would be an apartment complex, and not necessarily advertising it to the general public that you have rooms rent, but more, maybe, like I said, have some of the rooms that are occupied by full-time tenants, and just, letting the tenants know that, hey, we do offer, services by the week. There's a lot of hotels, I guess some big motels technically, that do operate on this whole market where they are there. Yes, they're there for a day, a week, a couple of weeks, but they also do by the month as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, especially during COVID, that we're seeing a lot of folks, a lot of hotels getting extra income by, saying, hey, yeah, we'll do a month-to-month contract.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah, I think that's because I obviously like the no-tell role, in a free society. Obviously, that they wouldn't need to be disguised. So these are transitionary. These are, I guess, transitionary things, and I guess services too. I think that's a really good. Obviously, if it's a proxy merchant who has interactions with the first and the second realm, having that above ground source of income in terms of the apartments, and also the cover, I think I agree. I think that's probably the best way to do it. Obviously, it just comes down to finding the right proxy merchant, or not really finding, but the right proxy merchant hearing this episode and deciding to go about doing this. Because obviously, there's going to be, especially in like in apartments, there's probably going to be additional. Regulations and additional interactions with coercers. So that's just worth noting. And leaving a handful of apartments open for self liberators, I think is great, and they can just blend in with the apartment traffic. So I think I think that's a really great start in terms of the thought experiment.
Yeah, I don't disagree. And I think, again, it's what we're talking about, the whole, in prepper circles, we would classify it as, the gray man approach. You want to look like everybody else that's around you in order to, decrease that mean time to, or increase that mean time to harassment. And then the proxy merchant, I think we all pretty much know that how to buy a home here in the United States or a piece of property. And we obviously... know that within that whole structure that, you're going to have to look like everybody else. And I think, that might look like, as an example for the proxy merchant, rather than being a personal owner, you're a, so-called, state-owned, business, commonly referred to as obtaining a business license. And So the property itself would be held by a non-human entity on the registry lists. And that would, I think, honestly add to the whole cover, too, especially if you have multiple properties.
Right. True, true.
And...
Yeah, I was just gonna jump in and make sure I like the apartment idea. I want to make sure we thought experiment out the other one too. I guess just a just a house or just some building that's repurposed. But yeah, the business license that might add another layer to it for sure. I guess in regards to the actual properties that would be rented or available for rent. To self-liberators or Venuans, how do you see obviously hashtag Agora, they had the example of just a smartphone using a phone accessing a website, making the payment, the doors automatically unlock whether remotely or automatically, and they get the room. How do you envision that playing out in this hypothetical apartment complex?
So I think that a lot of what is in hashtag Agora is definitely usable. So as far as locks are going, we have such an ability now for these small, tiny computers that can be connected to various different types of things, if you will, the Internet of Things. That would allow, local control of various things. I mean, already on the marketplace, we have door locks that have buttons on them that you can actually recode or add and remove remotely PIN numbers, so that when a Venuan has rented a room for a day or maybe even a couple hours or a week, whatever, when that expires, that code can be pulled out and basically that room now belongs back to the proxy merchant. And that would also, so that would be the cheapest way. Now we can go a little bit more intricate and more secure too, I think too, with, having, a local wireless network at the, on the property that, nobody knows about because, they didn't get the email or they didn't get the text or whatever that gives the connection information required to access the network, which then, providing, I mean, we can get as complex and secure as you want. I mean, I think ultra secure would be, a key file that is sent to the Venuan, and basically they drop that digital key into the server, and the server will go, okay, here's the list of access options, like open outdoor or open the outer door. Then they want to get to their room. Then they go, okay, open the room, and the doors would automatically unlock for them, and they could enter them. And as soon as the locks detect that they've entered, okay, they've checked in. So there's a lot of finer control that can go in there. I think maybe we want to talk about some of the other technology later, or do you want to do that now?
I think we can go ahead and dive into that now. Obviously, the technology is going to play a role in whatever no-till we talk about. So it'll be something we revisit. But yeah, I think we have to talk about the technology too, because that's going to be, that's going to be predominantly the security and kind of the upkeep of it, right? Is by way of technology. So yeah, please do go ahead.
Yeah, because technology, I think for the proxy merchant is really the only way to one protect the identity of the Venuan. Because I think honestly, it's one of those things where we don't want to know who our clients are, because that gives us deniability. That gives us the ability to go, you know what? I don't even know who that dude was, and I don't know where he's at. I literally just rented a room for him for a day, and that's all I know. I mean, if he was cooking up drugs in there, I didn't know about it. I'm not going to go up to the door, knock on it, and go, "Hey, what are you doing? You cooking up drugs?" which hopefully, if they're going to cook up drugs in the room, that they at least are a little nonchalant about it and can kind of help. Because I mean, but I think they are the infrastructure. So I have a little bit of a technology background. So the infrastructure, I think, in this idea would probably. Wireless is so easy to intercept. I'm not a big fan of wireless because it is just so easily accessible. but I think that we're going to have a mixture of the wired and wireless components. I think within the home, within the structure of the building, whether that is a home or it is an apartment complex, because I don't totally discount the home idea. The issue, of course, like I said, becomes nosy neighbors. But you know, if you're in a high density place, it could work as well. So basically, you're looking at a wired network. You know, each room having you know, a couple of different electronic devices, perhaps you know, lights. You know, because you want to be able to, you know what's going on. I mean, being able to, you know, shut off lights when there's no one in the room. You know, because let's face it, you know, I think hotels, you know, spend a lot of money on electricity. Just seems to me. So that would be a piece of technology. Yeah. And I think honestly, once you have that network infrastructure down, you've got the wireless locks. I think the next thing would be, you know, security. Like what does that look like? I think the biggest thing I think a lot of people would like would be cameras. Not in the private spaces, but in the public spaces. Mm-hmm. Again, we want to protect individual, you know, privacy. You know, so if they want to take, they want to take Katie up to their room and you know, have a nice drug party and, do what consenting adults do. That's their business, and we shouldn't be profiting on that, unless of course you know they want to sign a waiver that says we can't. You know, to each their own. Mm-hmm. So obviously cameras. A lot of the typical alarm system kind of things as well could be utilized. You know, we talk about for Vinuans, and then we also, you know, pulling ideas from other fictional sources. You know, alongside Night, you know, you have this huge mall complex, you know, and you want to have that warning system, because let's face it, you know, Vanuans have to think security first. And yeah, there is always that possibility of that nosy neighbor, always the possibility of, you know, that random bludge coming up to the door and wanting to talk to the owner and those kind of things, and running into, you know, a client instead. So I think early warning systems would be really good to have as well. You know, we talk about glass breaking sensors. We could also do things like, you know, you can monitor doors. I mean, it's not that hard. That's how alarm systems pretty much work. So if you had an alarm system or if you had a door open without a lock being unlocked, well, then you know that you have a break-in, and that could be a nice way to, you know, notify the clients. They know, hey, listen, there's a break-in in progress. You know, I would love if we could actually, you know, build either a panic room or some type of, you know, silent escape or, you know, hidden escape for the client. I think that was something that, you know, the clients would definitely appreciate, even if they're held up in a locked room for, you know, a couple of hours it takes to clear out the bludge. Mm-hmm. You know, and then that, you know, once the bludge are gone, you know, being able to, you know, let them know, hey, the coast is clear. If you want to leave, go ahead and leave, that kind of a thing. And that, you know, that whole security, I think is really important. I mean, we talk about it often, as Vinuans, that, you know, like as an example, you know, what's my real name, right? Do I have a real name? I don't know. And it's just that building that shield around you, so that, you know, people only know enough to know who you are and to interact with you. And that's, I think that's what a lot of the new ones would be looking for in my perspective. So I think security plays a big, huge part in that. The other thing, you know, we can also throw in motion sensors. You know, if there isn't supposed to be somebody in the hallway, i.e. a door lock hasn't opened or a door hasn't opened voluntarily, you know, that could also set up, you know, an early warning for the folks that are in there.
Right. Right. So as you said in, earlier, the wireless is more vulnerable. It kind of seems like the only real vulnerability. And I guess just the hackability of technology, but I mean there are ways around that. I guess do you want to speak a little bit to that vulnerability? How that could, I mean, possibly maybe you could use if we're talking about the apartment complex, you'll probably have internet that you provide to your other tenants anyway. So you could just I don't know if you could dedicate a portion of that internet, run it through Tor, privacy solutions. Maybe even go the Paul Rosenberg's Crypto Hippie. Maybe you have one of their Crypto Hippie routers or something, where all the Venuans traffic is ran through internet traffic, or maybe it's hidden that way. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, on addressing that the wireless vulnerability with these things, whether it's the doors or the cameras?
I think everything should be hardwired. Again, anytime you're putting a broadcast signal out there that is a transceiver so that it can both send and receive, there is the possibility of it being tapped. And it would be really horrible if the Bludge could just, with their scanning technology, be able to scan and go, oh, hey, look, here's all the wireless cameras inside. So we already know who's coming and who's going. We've already got video recording of all that. I think a lot of that just needs to be hardened just by being wired. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the services that a lot of folks who are utilizing an hotel are going to want that internet access like you're talking about. And again, I think that internet access, while in hotels, typically, there's not a lot of security there.
Oh, it's a public, public internet. Yeah. Essentially. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think every Venuan who has a ghost pad is not going to be using the wireless anyway. They're going to want a hard line plug in where they can plug their device in, and maybe they have their own wireless router that they know and they trust, and it's set up for a VPN, But I think we would have to, at the very least, provide that service of having as much of their data protected as possible. Whether it's using Tor routing, whether you're using fully encrypted connections, we talk about VPN, you could do a layered upon layered VPN, so that you have encryption upon encryption, and I think that could also be a service. So while we're sitting here talking about networking and everything as well. We also talk about, what other services could the Knotel also provide, So beyond just a room, storage lockers, for example, to facilitate trade, something like, and again, we try to stay away from wireless if we can, but think of it as, I think everybody has seen those big, large box mailboxes that the Postal Service uses, and if you were to equip them with electronic locks, and it could be, hashtag Agora, this idea of open transactions, this idea of electronic contracts. So, you could literally, go to the box, put your trade item in there, because you've already established a trading partner, and you kind of want to maximize your security by both of you not being there at the same time, giving deniability to either party. I didn't know what it was. So putting it in there, and then, once you've received your payment, then you can tell the box that it can go ahead and unlock when the person's there. Yeah.
So that's in the second Rome book, they talk about, I guess, the double blind trading. You could make this totally you could make this totally digital with like a 2 of 3 multisig with Bitcoin or something. that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, for
just
sure.
Basically just utilize what OpenBazaar or BISC would utilize in terms of peer to peer exchange, 2 of 3 multisig. And then you've got a physical a physical trade. Yeah, that's incredible. Yeah, I like that. I really like that.
Yeah, and then that's what's really great about these electronic contracts too, is the fact that, it requires both parties to, one, agree, both parties to also confirm that the transaction's been completed. So, the computer that maybe is down in the basement running the software, obviously encrypted partitions, no local access, you know, remote access only by, you know, multi-layered encryption security, all of which is currently possible now. So basically that becomes that third party in the transaction, as Open Transactions talks about, the notary, you know, saying, okay, yes, okay, you've got this item, you're offering it for this amount of money. Both parties have agreed to the product. They've agreed to the price. You know, the first person, goes there, as soon as they get their payment, they sign, okay, yeah, I got my payment. And then the next the person receiving the property would then go, yep, I received my property. And then the transaction's complete. With this open concept, obviously you want to be careful with who you're trading with, because yeah, there's always going to be a possibility that you're going to get ripped off, you know? And the money wouldn't be released until both parties agreed. The property would have to be released to be inspected by the buyer. I don't see any way around that, but you know, if the buyer releases the property, then obviously then the money is automatically released to the seller. So, mm-hmm. I think that kind of encompasses that whole idea of well, I like to call it a dead drop, with a little bit more security.
Yeah. A dead drop. I mean, it could just be, you could have those same things serve as supply caches for nomadic Minoans. Mm-hmm. Possibly even, I don't know, maybe it can be a, you know, a first realm address for some folks, like for mail forwarding. And some of these might be more applicable mm-hmm. to the, you know, like a residential or commercial area, but it could still be utilized here, I think. Mm-hmm. Beyond that, I know, there's one individual who has offered their, a city squat spot for like a van nomad, on like the second mm-hmm. realm directory. And he offers, you know, some various proxy merchant services, to people who might be traveling through. So I think that could be the same at these two. If, the Venuan doesn't want to, you know, interact with the first realm, they could pay someone for, anonymous errand running or delivery service. If a mm-hmm. proxy merchant wanted to do something like that, or, you know, overnight city squat spots, maybe the Venuan doesn't need a room. Maybe they just need somewhere to park their van. All these things are possible, plausible. And even beyond that, I think you mentioned at least a couple of these, but, whether it's the apartments, whether it's, you know, the commercial or the residential, variety, like data centers, Bitcoin nodes, mesh network nodes, et cetera. If people could connect to those, you're still trusting somebody, but at least you're trusting somebody within, you know, the Pasadena network, for example. So people could, the data center, people could connect to, that Bitcoin node. So only that Bitcoin node knows their full pub key or whatever it is that accesses all their addresses. I think that's another possibility. Further, depending upon, regardless whether it's residential, commercial, or, you know, the apartment, hacker spaces too. I think if there's spare rooms, so they could be rented for like a day long event. And I think that'd be a really privacy focused, like crypto anarchy, cypherpunk type of way to run one of those things. So just to have them be at different, different locations like that. So I don't know. There were some things that at least came up for me.
That's actually really awesome. You know, I hadn't thought of hackerspaces specifically, but yeah, I think, you look at the standard hotel model, and yeah, how many hotels have, you know, a banquet room, or how many hotels have a business center where you can get a private, you know, a semi-private room there. I think that'd be an amazing idea too. Cause I mean, you could then multi-purpose, some of these rooms. Especially if you don't, you know, if you have low occupancy, because I mean, in the end, you know, you need to make some money here. And while I love the idea of being able to rent a room for 10 euros, I don't see that as a plausible price point. However, it is possible we talk about, other computer systems on board within the structure. I think that some of the other folks have been talking about you know, some of these personal servers that are out there that you can buy this little box and you can load some software on, and you got this personal server that you can use. And then that same idea, you know, scale that up a little bit to a community, you know. So we talk about the multiple PASNIAs that we have, you know, there are multiple permanent autonomous zones that we're operating. And so having an interconnected network of those, I think would be really nice to have, because they're all trusted partners, I would think. And then adding those data services, like, you know, secure email, secure file sharing, secure file storage, you know, all the things that we do with our cryptocurrencies can apply to just about everything else too. And being able to rent that digital realm space, if you will, to store that information and to keep that information secure and private. And there's a lot of technology right now, like, you know, if you had, you know, 7 PASNIA sites, there's nothing that says that you have to keep all the data in one spot. You can literally partition that data off to each one of those other sites. And so some type of it looks like a peer-to-peer network, or I guess it'd be more like distributed storage, you know. So instead of having everything all in one spot, it's every piece is out there, and only you know, only a private key can pull that data back together so that you can access it. I think all of these are really important things.
Right. And I think one of the downsides, if I recall, and this might not be the case anymore, but because it's been a couple of years, I guess it's been a little while since I've kept up with it, and the crypto anarchy space is always rapidly progressing. But I think one of the downsides with, like, some of the decentralized file sharing platforms that are out there now is that, yeah, they are decentralized in that, you know, multiple people have them on their computers. But if everyone deletes that copy from their hard drive for whatever reason, then I think they can be gone forever. You have the hash for it. That's stored on the blockchain forever, but as far as the actual video itself, it's not being hosted somewhere. So something like this, and it's what I envision with the PASNIA library more expansively. Well, the physical library would be great too, but digitally, if we have these places, you know, all over the place, and storage is cheap, then that's automatically, you know, 8 or 10 or a dozen, et cetera, you know, however many, you know, PASNIAs there are, however many of these no-till data centers there are, that's how many copies can be stored. So I think that's a really, really powerful, possibility. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that if we're talking about a proxy merchant role, and this person's going to have their property, you know, they're going to be paying property taxes. They've got their business license. They play the game to do what they need to do. Well, what about, you know, if we're talking about, you know, a big industrial park or a big apartment complex? You probably have an extra room that you could run some crypto mining rigs in, right? And these could serve as dual purpose. Some people heat their houses or, you know, heat rooms with their crypto miners. And there's also just the fact that if you're going to be integrated in the first realm, then you're probably, yeah, you can write this shit off on your taxes, right? All that electricity costs generated by the mining rigs. I mean, if you're going to be a proxy merchant, you know, operating in the first and the second realm, you know, I mean, I'd say use it to your advantage as much as you possibly can. What do you think?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I think that, you know, I'm a big, huge fan of waste not, want not kind of a ideology there. And I think crypto mining could be the, at least at the initial outset, be the thing that makes the whole idea possible. Because you're not going to have at first, you're not going to have all these people who know exactly where you are. And you know, the same thing of, you know, economics, you know, you have this thing and this person is in that same area to use that thing, you know, how often is that going to happen? You know? And so you're going to need something to offset those costs. We've talked about, you know, renting the extra rooms. We've talked about, you know, other delivery services, but yeah, I think a crypto mining rig, not only would you be able to dedicate, you know, a lot of space to it, I suppose, with, you know, rates being what they are right now, I think that, you know, it's definitely a way to, if not make profit, on top of profit, which I don't really like to use the word profit just because it has that, that weird, you know, connotation of exploiting other people. I prefer to call it, you know, storage of value, but, you know, increasing your storage capacity of value there, I think a crypto mining rig could really help offset a lot of those. You know, we talk about the property taxes because they're everywhere, potential sales taxes as well. I personally don't want to charge people sales tax, so I'd probably go ahead and eat those costs if it were me, just because, you know, I find sales tax usage, I find taxes in general just to be, you know, an evil thing. And while I would rather not, you know, give the monster that is the state more resources, I think a lot of it, you know, you were just talking about it, is writing those off as in a business expense. So therefore you're giving them a much smaller piece than they normally would have. In that. Because there are a lot of other costs. I mean, you know, the proxy merchant, not only do they have a property that they have to maintain, that's, you know, having a maintenance person come and address or walk through. You know, you've also got maintenance costs for you know, in hashtag Agora, you know, Denton goes in there and he's looking the room, making sure everything is good, you know, toothpaste, toothbrush, towels, you know, they're all that standard stuff. I think a lot of folks will want. You know, unless, of course, you know, they're big fans of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and they bring their own towel. You know, having those things there is an additional cost, and you're going to have people who walk away with stuff. It is the thing that happens, you know. Mm-hmm. At least, you know, I would hope reputable Vanuans would respect other people's, I mean, respect the property owner and going, yeah, you know, listen, it's your towel. I appreciate your use for it. That's what I'm paying the room for, is for the use of the towel, those kind of things, dishes, maybe, I don't know, forks, knives, because who doesn't like a nice little, anonymous delivery to the house or to the place for food, so that they don't have to go out and expose themselves. You know, and then there's obviously insurance, you know, that has to be on the property. Commercial insurance is typically a little bit more expensive. Although I still think that, all things being equal, I still think that when it comes down to providing value to a Vanuan, I think you're going to still do better than the retail cost of a hotel room. You know, given the fact that, you know, your hotel room is not private, it's not safe, it's not secure. And maybe there is a premium price that could be charged, you know, to buy another property. I mean, that's what a lot of people, I think, you know, they don't think beyond the here and now. Mm-hmm. They don't realize that, oh yeah, this proxy merchant has some other expenses, or maybe that proxy merchant wants to develop more properties. Cause I mean, it's expensive. I mean, especially because we're talking cities. Another thing that had, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, apartments and homes. I think another thing, you know, and I think you kind of said it a little bit there, is industrial zones. How cool would it be to repurpose a warehouse? You know, a warehouse would be an awesome thing. People are storing their stuff there anyway. Why not also have a place where, you know, people, Vanuans can go to and themselves, you know, be on site. I know. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And I think that, you know, when we were looking at Rayo and what he was talking about and City Vanu and trying to, or Urban Vanu, and trying to figure out what that looks like and how do we get there? You know, how do we provide that trade space, you know, that Rayo would probably have loved to have had, you know, that secure trade space where he could, you know, he could store his trade. He could, you know, even now, you know, digitally sell his trade by just putting it in a storage locker of the appropriate size, and, you know, have a bazaar style directory where people could buy things and, you know, they could go and acquire those things without even having to talk to somebody. So I think that is a possibility too, is the industrial, repurposing the industrial site to provide habitation, you know.
Yes, for sure. And yeah, Kyle and I have talked a lot about, I think that's, yeah, we've talked quite a bit about the industrial zones. I see. Other than like they're super expensive because there's a lot of square footage, obviously. But, you know, it's no different than the aircraft carrier that I hope So I hope a fellow Vanuan or Self Liberator purchases at some point, because I would like to have an aircraft carrier to go venture to out in the middle of international waters. But Bitcoin, crypto moons, then you know, well, I think we'll have some of those folks. I guess a redistribution of wealth per se, but not in the communistic involuntary sense.
Yeah.
There was something that's come up a couple of times, and you mentioned replacement costs for towels or something like that. I kind of foresee, at least for, well, I don't know. Anyway, as like for the policies and procedures or rules for tenants or renters. I do see no-tells making their way onto the PASNIA directory, which would mean that they'd be for vetted individuals. And obviously, it's if the entrepreneur and proxy merchant wants it to be listed on the directory, of course. But as far as marketing it, it's kind of what we're doing with the PASNIA network right now is we're kind of creating the market, creating the demand, getting the network together and together connected and ideas expanded at this point, but. I kind of think at some point marketing won't entirely be necessary because people that are in the network will just need the services. Like that's why we're building the network is because we need these things. So I'm not sure marketing will be a huge critical part down the road. I don't think so. Which would limit if it's only. And the point I'm getting to is if it's only vetted and trusted Vanuans or self-liberators, then they would understand, you know, the tenets of security culture. If they're in a house where that's, you know, divided between, you know, rented out to four people or whatever, they would understand security culture, not to be loud and crazy and get the bludgies called by the neighbors. But hopefully the proxy merchant in question could choose somewhere and take that into account. That would certainly be the best alternative, but I don't know. Kind of rambling, but at the same time, I think the marketing will take care of itself once we build out the network, we build out the directory, and people just need these things because, they need them.
Yeah, I think we take a page again from hashtag Agora, and we talk about I forget the main character's name. It's just. Daniel.
Yeah.
How Daniel, you know, he logs into one of these chat channels there and they're feeding him all this information. And I think a lot of that is, I mean, we have some of that already within, our private communication systems so that we can share this kind of information like, oh, hey, listen, I'm going to be in this place, during these times. Does anybody know of any place where I could stay? You know, I think word of mouth is probably going to be the best marketing. But at the same time, you know, it's like you kind of have to have, I think, you're already building the infrastructure to have automated transaction. So, you know, client wants to rent a room. You have a computer system that's basically doing the whole thing. And it doesn't, I mean, it really, to me, doesn't make a whole lot of sense not to also include, you know, some type of a virtual access point. A lockdown secure web server kind of a idea there. No frills, you know, no huge, personally, I don't think you should have a whole lot of, applications, you know, so-called applications. It just should be stripped down, just, you know, ease of use, easy to use kind of things, that would act as your marketing. Initially. You could do that. I mean, a lot right now, we talked about Airbnb. So there's Airbnb. And then there's also a lot of folks, there's a lot of other integrated systems out there as well, that you can all network all of that stuff and funnel all of that to, you know, your potential no-tell, as well, not necessarily. It's one of those business decisions that has to be made. If I need money, I'd probably rent to people that I wouldn't necessarily have rented to, just because the capital is required to maintain the property. Absent that, then yeah, we would prefer our preferred client, which would be a Vanuan or some other safety and security conscious individual.
Right, right. And I'm thinking of another use case here too. Something that a lot of energy and thought is being put towards right now is the what I call the Pasadena Department of Transportation, or more generically, just a decentralized logistics and delivery network. I mean, there's another use case right there, right? You know, if we've got traveling Venuans all the time, you know, delivering stuff, they're going to need places to stay sometimes. I mean, they don't want to stay in their van some night, and they've got this, and if they've got a no-tell they can go stay at instead. Maybe they're recording, maybe they're doing somewhere they need good internet connection, and they can stop and go to one of these, you know, go to one of these no-tells instead. So that's another use case, is just, you know, and that's how a lot of this stuff is. It all feeds into each other as we're building a network, and all these things are necessary to the network, and that's why they're kind of coming together. But it looks like I know you said you had an hour. We've got about 10 minutes. I want to make sure to really, I guess, really make the most of this time. The last note that we had on here, and I guess I'll conclude. I mentioned the policies and procedures and rules for tenants and renters. I don't think those are going to be as necessary since I do foresee a lot of it being vetted Venuans, at least initially, or at least down the road, whatever you want to think about it. So what about pricing? I know in the hashtag Agora section, they said, you know, 10 euros a night, 10, and he kind of went through the math. But what are you thinking in terms of pricing?
So I think honestly, in terms of pricing, it's really a math formula. I mean, you know, an entrepreneur, you know, they want to create capital so that they can continue to invest. And so there's a balance between, you know, how much money could I get and how much money do I need to get, you know, trying to balance that out. I think that at some times of the year that, you know, just like typical hotels, there's going to be people that are not traveling, you know, and then at other times there's going to be lots of travelers. And so it's really a floating, I think even now it's a floating price point. You know, we say, oh, here's the advertised price. Oh, but you had this person here that, or this company that you've done business with before. So they're going to give you a discount. Honestly, we're not going to know what the price point is going to be, because there are just so many variables. I mean, you know, the difference between a no-tell in New York City, which honestly would probably have a much higher mean time to harassment, just because there's so many people there, and compared to, say, oh, I don't know, Manchester, New Hampshire, where, you know, you got 100,000 people living there in, you know, this small little area. The prices are going to be different because the costs are different. So I think that at the high end, I would say that, you know, look at what the hotel prices are. I think that would probably be the highest. Mm-hmm. We're not going to have marketing expenses for the most part, you know, and unlike hotels, you know, we have other income streams coming in. We've got our cryptocurrency mining rig. We've got our post office box, you know, mail forwarding service. You know, we got supply caching. You know, we've got, you know, all of these other additional income streams that offset those expenses, you know, and I think that, you know, you help somebody out and they'll help you out. You know, if you can give them a really good deal, I think they'll take it. And I don't think we don't need to profit off of each other. Mm-hmm. We need to exchange value for value, you know, and that's where I would sit, at least.
Yeah, I'm totally with you, And something I'm working on, we're working on here as part of one possible income stream for Veritas Pasadena, is some people are might familiar with Hip Camp. Well, we don't charge self-liberators of Venuans to camp out here, but at some point we're going to charge, you know, normies to camp out here, trying to offset any costs, and funnel more of that first realm money into the second realm. So maybe that's another way to think of it too, is if it's an apartment complex, maybe you offset, or maybe you fund the second realm venture with the first realm. Maybe you're able to pull that off, right? Like maybe you can fund the second realm venture with the first realm venture, and basically maybe only charge cost to, you know, Venuans or something, and then they can donate beyond that if they want to or whatever.
Yeah.
And then, as you said, the other income streams too. But yeah, try to funnel as much of that first realm money as possible into the second realm and offset those costs. I think it's totally feasible.
Yeah, I agree. And again, I think that's why the apartment complex is even a hotel that was repurposed, you know, any one of those ideas, I think really would help, you know, decrease that mean time to harassment, because you look like everybody else. You look like, you know, you have transient people coming back and forth, you know, you don't have, you know, the same people living there all the time. But I think having, you know, people living there all at the same time, or having regular people living there all the time, also kind of gives you that cover that you need, so that you don't look like what you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, indeed. Indeed. So I'm trying to think if there's anything else on pricing. I can't really think of anything else on pricing other than, as we talked about a little bit ago, if you aren't necessarily going the proxy merchant route, like in terms of business, and you just have, you know, a house that you've converted four to rooms and four mini apartments or something along those lines that you want to rent out. Yeah, not sure where I was going with that. But
I mean, it would definitely give you some space for Venuans to be able to park their vehicles and stuff. Yeah. I mean, yeah, large apartment complexes usually have that space too. So, and you know, that's something that you
that's what I was going to mention. You could pass on the savings if you aren't going to go the commercial route. You could pass on those savings too, because if you think about how much of the like, if you're renting a hotel room, how much of that cost is factored? How much of like regulation adherence is factored into that cost? And going and making sure all the permits are obtained and standards maintained, all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think in terms of pricing, it could be very profitable for a proxy merchant, an entrepreneur, but also a savings for self-operators and Venuans. So I think it's an all around win. And there's no better time for it than now. And there's only going to become more and more of a need for things like these. So it's a great time to have the conversation. I'm glad we did. Any closing thoughts? Anything else you'd like to end with before I let you go?
No, I think we pretty much touched on everything that I had in my bag.
Yeah, I agree. And we don't have to go through all the details. Really, what I found is you just basically lay out some ideas and people start thinking and things happen. So it's great to see. It's great to see. So, JJ, I look forward to seeing you and chatting with you more in the Paznia Telegram Committee of Correspondence chat. Anywhere else I usually let people plug, you know, if they got website or podcast or whatever, but is there anywhere you'd like to send the listeners to that, somewhere of yours or somewhere you find a value?
I find value in, of course, you know, letting everybody know that, you know, if you haven't read Hashtag Agora, you definitely it's worth the value, in my opinion, to purchase that through Liberty Under Attack Publications.
Fantastic. Perfect. Well, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. And maybe sometime in the future, we'll come up with another great podcast idea to chat about. So thanks a lot for coming on. And we'll reconvene in the passing chat here soon.
Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, guys, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Vanu Podcast. As always, if you're new here, you can find our full archives on your favorite podcatcher, or just visit the website for all things Vanu. That URL is vanupodcast.com. There you can also find free Vanu books, a frequently asked questions list, the Vanu Beginner's Guide, and much more. You can also snag the book discussed today, Hashtag Agora, from Liberty Attack Publications. The paperback is available individually, or you can snag it as part of our Liberty Fiction Bundle. And hopefully sometime in this life, Orin and I will get around to finishing the audiobook. Just maybe. I've I've pondered putting together like a really, really not even going for Audible and trying to make it like a really interesting, engaging presentation. But I won't say anything else on that right now because it's not done. Not even in the works, in the process of being done. But lastly, if you're looking to join the second realm in physical or digital fashion, check out what we're building here at the Free Republic of Pasnia. Pasnia.com is the place to go for all things the Free Republic, including the recently released 2021-2022 stakeholder bulletin. You can also read and sign the Pasnia Declaration of Independence, Constitution, view the Self-Liberation Diaries, our Visitor's Guide, and more. Again, the website is Pasnia.com, and to join the Pasnia Committee of Correspondence Telegram chat mentioned numerous times today, just visit t.me/Pasnia chat. I think that's all I have for you. Always remember, Vanu is yours for the making, and the Second Realm is yours for the building. Cheers. Rayo was right. Freedom does indeed need more full-time professionals, not collective movement preachers seeking a coterie of followers, but explorers, inventors, developers of liberated life ways. Undoubtedly, numerous folks are truly seeking a way out of the servile society, but they don't see any options outside of political crusading or apathy. Many are being emotionally and physically broken down by the 9-to-5 grind, the daily pressures of the servile society, and the recognition of how truly unfree they really are. That being the case, our task as Vanuans now becomes self-liberation and marketing in that order. Reason being, if we are ever going to see an alternative economy, sovereign free port, a new libertarian country, or whatever other grandiose strategy comes into fruition, we need to first break people free from the servile society and into a lifestyle change of their choosing. Additionally, if we are ever going to see the abolition of the state, we must do our damnedest to eliminate the market demand for it. A great way to do that is by showing individuals that there are other options, and to help them in the process as much as possible. Some entrepreneurs may even be able to monetize such a venture in the form of consulting, or the development of tools or services to ease the transition from the first realm to the second realm. Rayo's first book, Vanu: The Search for Personal Freedom, was initially published in 1983. 35 plus years later, many of these strategies are just as practical now as they were then, if not more so thanks to the evolution of technology. Yet, some recommendations he and others posited are extremely outdated, destined to fail in the modern day. Vanu is based upon reality, not legality, and therefore, it will develop according to the external factors of the present time. Freedom is not free. It takes time, effort, money, an extreme amount of dedication, and a willingness to make sacrifices. It requires the willingness and ability to create, develop, and to problem solve, as we are the self-liberators of the 21st century, pioneering the path forward to a freer future. It is not for everybody, and neither is Vanu. There's no better way to end this book than with these wise, timeless words from our friend and posthumous mentor, Rayo. Quote, "A Vanuan to me is not just someone living in a particular manner. Lifestyles may change. A lifestyle which was Vanu 100 years ago may not be Vanu today. Some lifestyles Vanu today were not possible 100 years ago and may not be Vanu 50 years from now. A Vanuan is someone who places a high value on relative invulnerability to coercion, someone for whom freedom is worth a fair amount, though not infinite, of effort, inconvenience, discomfort. To a Vanuan, Vanu is not just a means to other ends, nor is it an ultimate end. Like most qualities of life and life itself, it is both. A Vanuan will choose whatever way of living offers personal sovereignty, and will change lifestyle again and again if necessary." End quote. Your free future is closer than you think. This was an excerpt from my book, Vanu: A Strategy for Self-Liberation, available in the Self-Liberation Bundle. Just visit libertyunderattack.com/SL Bundle to snag every book we offer at a huge discount. Currently 18 books. Again, libertyunderattack.com/SL Bundle is where to go to pick that up. And to view our full catalog, please visit libertyunderattack.com. LUA Publications. Share your story. Find your freedom.